There's so many wonderful things, and it shows how remarkable influence all different kinds of people. And he, by his influence, he changed their hearts. By his internal absorption, by his personal beauty, by his dancing, he affected everyone. But it's amazing how much it's covered, how many different kinds of people he affected. And then it, and how he meets Paramananda Puri too. And Paramananda Puri is godbrother of Madhavendra Puri. Excuse me, of Ishwara Puri, disciple. And yet when he meets Mahaprabhu on the Rishabha Hill right after Srirangam, Mahaprabhu was so hungry, he deals with him. But he said, please go to Jagannath Puri because I want you to be in your association. And he does it. Now he's the elder, he's the senior, the culture is completely intact. So he recognizes Mahaprabhu's position.
Is Paramananda Puri Hinduism?
I don't know. Is he?
I think I've read it somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, that's the kind of thing I love to look for. Why is, you know, what's the details in there? I'll tell you one little pastime that I found while looking through that ninth chapter where everything seems to go in a blur. Because he deals with the Tathagatas, he deals with the followers of Sri Ramananda Charya, he goes to a Dupi, he deals with all kinds of atheists, he deals with what person was who else?
The Buddhist.
Now here's something that I found really funny.
Lakshminarayan, the devotee of Lakshminarayan, if you remember his name right now.
And there's also Ranga Puri. There's so many really interesting things in there. So just because it's covered in brief, just go into it more deeply. And here's one little thing that I found so funny. It is dealing with the Buddhists. Anyway, so Mahaprabhu meets some Buddhists. And also it describes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Nityananda Prabhu is meeting the Buddhists, and he kicks them and laughs. But Mahaprabhu had a different way of dealing with them. So he, because they're very much into logic, they're very, very meticulous in their logic, and especially in dealing with the mind and things like that. So they were experts in the Buddhist scriptures. So Mahaprabhu defeated them, and everyone laughed. And they became insulted. So they decided revenge. So they got a big metal plate of contaminated food. Who knows what it was in it, but it says it's contaminated. And they said, oh, Maharaj, and then what happened?
Eagle came.
Tell me just one bit by one bit, yes.
So the eagle comes.
A big bird comes, and they're Buddhists, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he picks up the
Prasadam.
And
goes away.
And the plate?
And then what happens?
And they drop
the Prasadam falls on them, the contaminated Prasadam. And then the plate, what happens?
Also in Buddhist Guru.
So, and then what happened to him?
He fainted.
So he fainted.
He went unconscious, right? So what are the Buddhists in China? What is their favorite instrument?
Gong.
So it hits him on the head and it makes a gong. And then he falls unconscious, which is the perfection of Buddhism. And then his followers, rather than saying, oh, our teacher has become imperfect now, he's unconscious. They become a great anxiety. And they go to Mahaprabhu, rescue our teacher. So he tells them, he chants, and they chant to the Buddhist teacher, and he gets up. And he's in ecstasy. by the power of the heart, this is my mantra. And then it said, but it said, and then suddenly, and there's one word that he uses in there, the cover of it, like, and then Mahaprabhu just disappears suddenly, playfully disappears. So when I just saw this, and so Mahaprabhu performed this playful lila where he, you know, with the gong and everything, instant enlightenment, and then the cure for the enlightenment to the unconsciousness. Because after all, what's the difference between the materialist viewpoint of you die and then you're dead and you no longer exist, and the Buddhist concept of perfection, that you know you're in, you no longer exist as an individual? The difference. The Mahaprabhu playfully disappeared after that, after performing the lila. Okay. One last question, and then we should end the
question.
Yes.
Demons do unbeneficial, horrible.
Excuse me?
Demons do unbeneficial, horrible acts for the destruction of mankind.
Demons? What's the second? What's the
Asuras.
Yeah.
They perform unbeneficial, horrible acts meant for destruction of the world. And these, you know, they come up with wars, the coronavirus, persecute devotees, and Krishna says that when this happens, he comes and protects the devotees and destroys the demons, yada yada and dharmasha. But we read about that, but we never, it seems like the demons are just going for it, and they don't, and nobody stops them. Krishna doesn't come, and everything just gets horrible.
That wasn't exactly the subject of the talk. I mean, that's a whole other thing. There's many questions. Yeah. Does Krishna protect the devotees? Raise your hand if you've ever had the experience where Krishna protected you.
Oh. Okay.
Even you have it. Huh?
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then the other part of the question, why doesn't Krishna like destroy them right now? So why don't you send him an email to tell him you have a good idea for him? You have a better idea than he has. I mean, there's so many things you could say that they're going to destroy each other. Don't worry. The prophets are, it's the way of the world. So when we say, why doesn't Krishna do this? The little demon inside of us is speaking, and he's saying, why trust Krishna? I have a better plan. I have an idea of a better way to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Devotees, they trust Krishna. It's not easy to be that kind of devotee. One time, Prabhupada was walking in Calcutta at the Victoria Memorial, and he was remembering his youth, how they were building it, and there was scaffolding around it, and he said he climbed to the top. Did you know that?
Yes, I read it in
Prabhupada. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, you must have been so brave.
Yogeshwar's book.
Huh?
Yogeshwar's book. Swami in a Strange Land. First page.
So Prabhupada replied, I still am brave. Otherwise, how could I have come along? So you don't feel? You don't think you're still feeling himself under Krishna? Oh, I don't mean that in an accusative way. But he saw that Krishna was protecting him at every step. That's what it means. Go to Tevananam Tatap to feel Krishna's presence and Krishna's protection as we live our life and serve and try to do something in reciprocation with him. To, with him. because and there's a part of me that will think, how come Krishna is dealing with me this way? I have a better idea. Not only with the world, but with me. I think my bed should be softer, I should never get sick, and one should appreciate me, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, it's my idea. A little demon inside is talking. A better friend. And Krishna rather preferred a humble servant. He's trying his best to serve. Anyway, Tari, thank you all so much. So we'll try again tomorrow, and we'll be in the rough to begin.